Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got him on the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. Good to be with you on this Wednesday. We'll be with you for the next 60 minutes discussing the latest related to the New York Giants. 201-939-4513. That is one way for you to interact with us here on the program. You could also use hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. And we want to remind fans that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code Contact to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Yesterday, the Giants announced Ben McAdoo's coaching staff, so we will go over the members of the coaching staff. I know that was discussed at great length yesterday, but we'll highlight a few of the key members of this coaching staff. We'll also get into some free agency news and notes. A few players were let go that hit the market yesterday. There's also news on the Kirk Cousins front with respect to the Redskins and what they're going to do at the quarterback positions. Very early in the game, but we'll delve into all of those subjects, and we'll get to your phone calls, and we'll get to your tweets along the way. As always, it is opened up to just about anything on this program. And indeed, I know you and Paul discussed the members of the coaching staff. At least we can look at some of the common themes within the coaching staff. And one of the things that jumps out to me, you have a lot of experience at a lot of these positional coaching spots where a lot of these guys were with various teams over the courses of their career. For example, Mike Solari, we're talking about the offensive line coach, has had 40 years of coaching experience, 27 in the National Football League, and he's worked with the Niners offensive line and the Packers offensive line, most notably in his last two stints. He was the assistant coach, assistant O-line coach of the Green Bay Packers last year. Prior to that, he worked with the Niners, and based on the numbers, San Francisco was certainly up there in terms of pass protection as well as run blocking, and a number of the others, whether it be Bill McGovern, the linebackers coach, who's familiar with the NFC East. He came over from the Eagles. Patrick Graham, who's been with the Patriots. A lot of the coaches who are joining Ben McAdoo staff have experience at their specific position, and I think that's what at least jumps out to me about the makeup of this group.
Also, when you're talking about the tenure, how long these guys have been in the NFL, you know, keep in mind, probably the biggest question mark about Ben McAdoo is the fact that he's never been a head coach before. And so he's jumping, you know, right in. So why not build a staff around him that has had this type of tenure, that has been in the league for a long time, that has this type of experience, because this is really going to be a learning curve for Ben McAdoo. We know what he can do as an offensive coordinator. Again, we've talked about it several times on the show, how the players and the coaching staff that still remains on the staff from Tom Coughlin really supported the hire of Ben McAdoo. But this is going to be a learning curve. It's a whole new animal when you're a head coach as opposed to a coordinator. And having this type of staff, I think they did a really great job bringing in a staff that has a lot of experience, not only at the positions that they're coaching, but also in the league in general. And I think that's going to help Ben a big deal.
You mentioned there are some carryovers. 12 assistants were under Tom Coughlin at one point, 7 in terms of main positional coaches. And for the first time in franchise history, the Giants are going to have an assistant defensive line coach. Under Patrick Graham, you're going to have a former NFL player in Jeff Scania, who's been around the block with the Texans, with a few other teams during the course of his tenure, and that is something new. And Ben McAdoo, in the statement that the Giants released, talked about how, you know, he wanted to bring in some assistance at key positions because, for example, on the defensive line, Anita, you have so much wealth of options that you utilize in practice every day, whether it be the defensive tackles, the defensive linemen, and sometimes it's helpful if they could just get a former player's perspective while working during the course of practice as opposed to just hearing from the coach who obviously is going to set up the scheme and so forth. So that's at least a new interesting wrinkle that the Giants coaching staff is going to have this season, as well as assistance at special teams and some of the offensive places as well on this staff.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be exciting, and I will say this. I'm curious if you feel it. I feel like there's a new vibe, there's a new energy here. You know, and not to say that the energy with Tom Coughlin was bad or negative. It's not good, bad. It's just different. it's just different. I think there's an excitement around this building. It's just there's a different feel. Do you feel it?
Over the course of time, the Giants have been a fairly consistent franchise in terms of, you know, even with changes, there's not a great deal of shakeup. I think there's excitement from the perspective of McAdoo getting his first opportunity as a head coach. But, I mean, I think right now they're so focused on the task at hand, I don't sense an overwhelming amount of change. But we'll see what happens with free agency and the draft.
I guess I'm just different. I just, you know, you walk into a place, there's a vibe, there's a feeling, there's an energy. And it's different since this has happened, and it's an excitement. Might sound corny to some people, might sound corny to you, but I feel it, and I'm pretty excited, and I'm pretty excited to see what this new coaching staff can do.
Few connections to the Giants family within this coaching staff, too, in terms of some of the themes. You have Frank Cignetti, who's the quarterback's coach. He was also a graduate, like Ben McAdoo, from Indiana University of Pennsylvania. Adam Henry, who's the wide receivers coach, was Odell Beckham's wide receivers coach at LSU. And it was interesting because in the statement that the Giants released, one of the first things Ben McAdoo came out and said, that was one entity that made Adam Henry attractive, but it wasn't the main thing to bring him in just because he has the connection to Odell Beckham. And if you look at Adam Henry's resume, he was with the Oakland Raiders, he was a tight ends coach, then he went to LSU, and then last season he was the wide receivers coach at San Francisco. So, you know, LSU wasn't the only place where he made a name for himself. He has still a wealth of NFL experience, but at LSU, you can't overlook the fact what he did with Beckham, Anita, and then also what he did with Jarvis Landry and a few of the other options at LSU. They had three players drafted within Beckham and Landry's class. So there was a wealth of talent on that LSU crew, but I think it helps, since Beckham is still at such a young stage in his career, to have a familiar voice, somebody that knows his ins and outs, knows his tendency. That's obviously a positive thing. I don't think that that's a negative aspect at all. Plus the fact that Adam Henry has worked with a few other teams. In San Francisco, if you look at the Niners last year, they had Torrey Smith, they had Anquan Boldin, but they did still have a number of young players that they were trying to bring up throughout the depth chart. But I think that it's nice that at least they'll be reunited, a familiar voice that should help out Odell Beckham, considering he thrived at LSU.
Yeah, absolutely. Those two positions... coaching positions that were hired, to me the most intriguing is this one in regard to Odell, because, you know, obviously some instances that took place last year, specifically in the game against Carolina, you know, I think this year one of the goals for Odell is, you know, even if he is faced with that type of adversity again, and I think we can assume that he will at some point in time, players looking and seeing how Josh Norman kind of got in his head and kind of rattled his cage a little bit, I would expect other players are going to try to do the same. Maybe not to the extent where they're going to get ejected, but nonetheless, I think it's going to be important to have somebody there who's going to be able to really mentor him in another way that maybe wasn't on this team before. So I think that's going to be a very interesting hire, and see how he helps Odell progress and get even better than he is right now. And number two is the offensive line coach, Larry. I think that's going to be really intriguing, because this is a young, exciting, building offensive line, especially with Flowers and Bobby Hart. How does Solari relate to them? How does he gel with them? Do they listen to him? Do they take his advice? Do they really hone their craft and work on their skill set? That's going to be a big role for him. Those are the two key position coaching hires that I think are going to be really intriguing heading into the season.
Though there is some continuity, at least the way that I look at it, because you do go from Pat Flaherty, who also had a wealth of experience as an offensive line coach, to now Mike Solari, who I went off the top. I mean, his resume, it's remarkable how long he's been around the game, whether it be at the NFL or the collegiate levels. So I don't think there's going to be that much of an adjustment, because the offensive linemen who are in there, who, as you mentioned, are young, you're still getting a voice that has been there. He's done that, and he's worked with a variety of different offensive lines, both veterans and young guys. So I think that should certainly help. Bill McGovern is the last one that has a previous Giants connection. He actually worked with Mark Herzlich at Boston College. So he coached Herzlich, and he also coached Luke Kuechly at Boston College as well. And those of you who have followed Kuechly's career with Carolina, you know how impressive he's turned out at the NFL level. So a few little Giants connections throughout the course of this coaching staff, but the official coaching staff is all laid out. 12 returning from Tom Coughlin's staff, a number of new assistants. So it should be certainly interesting to see how these guys get going with the current personnel in place.
And I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled with the ones that are returning. I'm a big fan of Mike Sullivan. Sully, you know, was sad to see him leave to go to Tampa. Happy when he came back and thrilled that he's still on the staff. His relationship with Eli Manning is bar none. Even though now he will no longer be the quarterback coach, more the offensive coordinator, and still Paul and I were talking about it. Still no word yet, no official word yet from the Giants in regard to who's going to be the play caller. Maybe it's all McAdoo. Maybe it's a little mixture of both. Who knows? Only time will tell. But really excited that Sully's still on the staff. I'm a big fan of Dave Merritt. I think that's key. Dave Merritt developed a really nice relationship with Landon Collins. And so obviously helping him kind of mentor grow into, I think, the safety the Giants would like to see Landon Collins become. And also Kevin Gilbride's son, Kevin Jr., who's still on the staff. So three guys that really kind of stand out to me in regard to what I've seen them do, how I've seen them grow, and how they affect the team and the players. I think the players are really thrilled that those three guys are still on the squad.
Well, Gilbride's done a nice job with the tight end, specifically last season, considering all of the injuries he had to deal with. Mm-hmm. You lose Larry Donnell. You know, you lose a number of other options, and then all of a sudden Will Tye comes out of nowhere and becomes an integral part of the offense. So it's nice to see that he'll be able to continue worth with that group. The other one that you mentioned, Mike Sullivan, at the end of the day, they're going to be so involved in the game plan each and every week, and Sullivan's got experience as a positional coach and an offensive coordinator. So you now have an offensive coordinator who can relate to the wide receivers, can relate to the quarterbacks. He's had that position here with the Giants, and then he was an offensive coordinator with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for 2 years. Regardless of who ultimately does have the play calling, though, I think there's going to be, like I said, during the course of the week, so much give and take that I don't know if it's going to make a huge difference. But I find it hard to believe that McAdoo, given his play calling ability over the last 2 years, is going to completely dissociate himself from that role. So whether he's the main play caller during the course of the game, he's going to be heavily involved in terms of the offensive game plan, the strategy, the scheme, and so forth. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, hashtag Giants Chat. We're going to open up the phone lines here as we move along the way till the top of the hour. We'll also get to your tweets. Certainly, if you want to weigh in on the coaching staff, you want to weigh in on free agency, everything is up for debate. Let's start with Bob in Brick. Bob, what's happening?
Hey, hello, Anita and Lance. How you doing?
Doing well, Bob. How's everything with you?
Okay, good. Listen, I was very interested in the intro you guys brought up about the different coaches. But one that you did not mention, and I think a lot of the Giants fan base would love to hear more about, is the new strength and conditioning coach. And as I'm sure you both know very, very well, is that a lot of times fans are calling up and asking, hey, what on earth are we doing differently or can do differently so that the Giants are not leading the league in injuries year after year after year? And while I give the Giants a lot of credit, and I think the fan base does, they came up with the GPS system, they changed the diet, the food is different, they have spa day, you know, all those kinds of things that, you know, I give them credit for trying to do things. But, again, people want to know, hey, what the heck is going to be new and different since now they actually did make that change? So they've always listened to, you know, gee, this latest and greatest science from Stanford and all these other places. And you know what? I think it would be great if not just the coaches you have already talked about, but including the strength and conditioning coach, if you guys could invite them in someday, let them sit at the table and field some calls. Because the fans would love to ask questions, and I think he'd be very high on the list.
Well, Aaron Wellman, in terms of his background, I mean, clearly they haven't addressed the media. He's been in college for a number of years, nearly 20 years, and he knows McAdoo from their days at Michigan State together. They were briefly together on the Michigan State staff.
He's from Notre Dame, right?
Correct. His latest stint was at Notre Dame, but he's been all around the block in terms of the Division I collegiate level. So he's worked with a variety of different schools. To answer your question, Bob, I mean, I don't know exactly what he's implemented at each of those schools. He's been an assistant strength and conditioning winning coach at the majority of those spots, but he has a wealth of knowledge that he's going to bring to the NFL from the collegiate level. So, you know, perhaps, I'm sure along the way, he's picked up different things that he has certainly come across. But in terms of specific game plan, I mean, that has yet to be released, and it may not be revealed. I mean, that obviously remains to be seen. But it's going to be a different voice because Wellman hasn't been at the NFL level. So you can look at it so from the standpoint that it's going to be at least a little creative, considering he's going to bring whatever he learned from college to the professional level right now.
Also, you know, keep in mind, this day and age, one thing about training and whatnot, it's just, it's always growing, it's always changing, it's always, it's an evolution, it's an adaption. You're always learning new things and new techniques about bodies and what exercises work well with football players, golfers, basketball players. It's, you know what I mean? It's just, so, you know, I'm with the caller. I think it's going to be fun and exciting to see what new elements Aaron brings to the training program for a lot of these guys, and will we see a difference? I'm intrigued. I'm really intrigued. Will we see a difference in regard to fewer injuries this season because of the change? I'm with you. I'm on the same page.
Well, okay, but my a point I want to bring up is that, especially for a lot of us who had played football many years ago, you know, we remember the days when our coaches used to yell and scream at us and keep us away from the water, you know, so as an example, you know, so you get the heck away from the water, you know, and you had to keep training all day and you were dying of thirst. And as time went by, you realize, boy, that was pretty stupid, you know, I was suffering from dehydration and, you know, now so somebody wouldn't do that. So just as an example, I wonder, you know, what will be, say, some of the newer approaches to things such as basic as hydration, especially like at halftime, you know, are these guys, when you hear about guys dehydrating and suffering from dehydration in the second half of a game or late in a game, you wonder, well, geez, you know, didn't these guys get an opportunity or were told or were made to drink, you know, to get something in them? So that's just my point. I hope you guys can find a way to bring at some opportunity some of these coaches to bring them on your show and allow fans to have a chance to call in and ask questions. So I appreciate it.
All right, Bob. No problem. Appreciate the phone call.
Just to make a point, a lot of times when you see guys suffering from dehydration midway through the game, a lot of that has to do with the fact that they didn't drink enough water during the week to prepare for the game. You know, as an athlete, you always want to drink leading into the game. Obviously, you're drinking during the game, water, Gatorade, whatever the case may be, but it's more crucial, it's more important that athletes drink a lot of water leading up to that big day, more so than obviously you're going to drink during the game because you're just exhausted.
Well, and to answer Bob's question, at least from a hydration standpoint, under Tom Coughlin over the last two seasons specifically, you know, they did implement new technology and they made sure that, you know, from being out there during training camp, I remember, breaks are built in so that the guys can hydrate themselves. So, I mean, there's no more of this, what he was alluding to back in the day,
where they try to
wear them down and they're like, you know, keep the water hidden away and locked up. I mean, that was not present on the training camp field when the Giants were working out in preparation for the season. I mean, hydration was a big focal point in some of the tweaks they made, and they also changed the schedule where they weren't practicing on Friday. It was more of a regroup day, then go a little bit heavier on Saturday in anticipation for Sunday's game. If you remember during Coughlin's staff, during his tenure rather, the majority of the seasons, you know, Friday was a tough practice day in preparation for Sunday. They made that tweak in the last few seasons.
Also, it's important fans realize, like, you know, the Giants, they take this seriously. We know the practice facility is now called Quest. Quest has come on board. They've got a special test that the players take to help them in regard to what foods they should eat that will help them better at practice or during a game, you know, to find out what allergies they have. You know, the food here is 10 times better. They have a nutritionist that's here, I want to say once or twice a week, who's absolutely fantastic. And you know, the players sit down with her. She's available whenever they need to. So, you know, fans need to understand, like, you know, the Giants organization, they take all of that very seriously and they do the best they can.
And I'm sure that Aaron Wellman, who's the new strength and conditioning coach, I mean, he's going to have new things that he's going to bring to the table. I mean, that was the one thing that was appealing, to bring somebody in from college, a new voice, you know, something to change things up. And he's going to have some assistants under him. And I'm sure when Ben McAdoo addresses the media at some point this offseason, you know, that'll be one of the things that I'm sure that he'll talk about. But, you know, that was clearly an emphasis this offseason. It's been an emphasis, Anita, I would say, over the last few seasons. You know, strength and conditioning, avoiding the injury bug. This is not something that all of a sudden came to the forefront. You know, as the last caller alluded to, there has been a trend, but the goal each and every season has been the trend to avoid those injuries. However, with that being said, you know, let's not be naive and think that, you know, the Giants are the only team that suffers the injury bug. There's been a number of other teams that have also, over the last few years, have lost a number of key players.
My gosh,
most notably the Patriots this past season.
Most notably the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, there was a number of teams that just really were riddled by injury. I think the biggest thing when it comes to the Giants, unfortunately, is when you look at the injury bug, it's starters, it's playmakers, as opposed to, you know, your nickel or your fourth wide receiver. You know, so that's why I think it's so front and center when it comes to the Giants, because when the injury bug has hit, it's hit more of the starters probably than most other teams. I think there's a stat out there about that.
Well, that certainly has been well documented, mm-hmm. specifically for the Giants. All right, we're going to open up Twitter here. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You want to weigh in on the coaching staff, free agency questions, off-season questions, combines on the horizon.
Woo!
Feel free to give us a ring, but I do want to get to a number of tweets as well.
I'm excited for Combine, by the way.
Before you know it, next week, they'll be starting the 40-yard dash and so forth.
And we're going to be broadcasting special edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live, 2 hours, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, live from Lucas Oil Stadium, live from the Combine. And John and I were working on really booking up the show. We've got some great names and some great guests who are going to jump on board. So you definitely want to tune in those 3 days.
All right, let's get to Twitter here. This comes from at MrPerfect170. Left tackle Bushrod, Jermon Bushrod, he's referring to, who was just released by the Chicago Bears, could be an all right pickup for the G-men, a nice stopgap guy. Well, I think he's more than a stopgap guy. I mean, if you look at Jermon Bushrod's tenure in the NFL, he took over as the starting left tackle for the Saints during their Super Bowl run, and then he got that big contract from the Chicago Bears. So you got experience that Bushrod brings to the table. It'd be very interesting to see what the type of market he's going to demand now that he's a surprise free agent. And this is something that we've talked about on this program going back the last few weeks. When you look at the free agent list, we only knew everybody whose contract was going to expire. But now all of a sudden, you're going to throw a few names into the mix each and every day as teams make cuts and the waiver wire and so forth. So Bushrod, he's one of the new faces. The Lions also let go of Joyke Bell, their running back. He's another name that's just been added to the free agent market. Bushrod, left tackle, as I mentioned, experience with the Saints and the Bears. If you look at the tackle position for the Giants right now, given the fact that they parted ways with Jeff Schwartz and Will Beatty, you know, tackle position is a need. Bushrod has played mainly as a left tackle, but, you know, he's the type of player that all of a sudden is going to get some interest because he's a veteran and he plays a key position at the tackle spot, which a lot of teams, you can never have enough depth there, given the fact that the injury bug tends to strike at that position because you tend to go up against some of the top defensive ends and pass rushers during the course of your career.
You know, I think this is a really interesting time right now because we're at that franchise tag time right now. And I think obviously is you've got, like, what is it, 2 week window, right?
For what, to tag.
Right, it's a 2 week.
Yeah, until the beginning of March, and then the guys that get tagged have until July 15th to work out a long term deal.
It's really going to be interesting to see, you know, who gets tagged, who works out long term deals, because, let's take the Jets for example. You know, the Jets would love to keep both Muhammad Wilkerson and Snacks Harrison. How do they do that? I mean, they're really going to have to kind of maneuver something extremely special in order to get that done. A lot of people don't think that's going to happen. So they're going to have to lose one. A lot of people think that they're going to lose Snacks. And I think there are a number of teams out there that are kind of in that position that, you know, we're looking at the list of unrestricted free agents and – but I think this list is going to get all that much more interesting based on the decisions that these teams have to make and who to tag – Who don't they tag? Who do they work out the deals with? Who do they not? Who really hits the free agent market, you know, that maybe you weren't anticipating to hit? So I think this is going to be a very intriguing 2 weeks.
Well, every single year you have a team that's got a variety of different free agents. I would throw the Denver Broncos out in the conversation, too. I mean, you were mentioning the Jets. The Broncos have a number of key players, and they're going to have to determine, do we tag Von Miller? You know, can we re-sign Malik Jackson, Danny Trevathan, and so forth?
How do they not tag Von Miller?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they do. It's just these are the types of decisions,
right,
that, as we're alluding to, that teams are going to have to make to determine how they want to manipulate the salary cap. And this is no different than any other offseason. Majority of teams have to go through these circumstances. To me, though, the bigger surprises are the guys that are let go in these weeks leading up to the beginning of March before the calendar strikes midnight, and then we have the start of the new season, and you can go out and sign free agents. It's the players that we weren't anticipating being on the market, such as the Jermon Bushrods, as well as the Joyke Bells, two names in particular that I mentioned were let go the other day. So those are new names that I'm sure a number of you who like to rank free agents are now squeezing them into your want list and so forth. A.J. Marshall at A.J. Marshall 3. In free agency, the Giants need a veteran right guard to compete with Bobby Hart for the starting job. Remember, they got John Jerry, too. Let's not forget about that. Jerry's a veteran. He's already on the team. So, yeah, I have a veteran, but, I mean, I would agree with you, A.J. It never hurts to bring in more. Depth is the key term here. You can never have enough depth, whether it be veterans, whether it be young guys, and so forth. And it goes back to, you know, what you were talking about earlier, Anita, with respect to the depth chart, because you never know who may go down due to an injury. Therefore, if you have a strong depth chart, you're not worried about the production falling off or worried about some obviously taking a big hit on offense or defense because you have another guy that's going to be stepping in and he knows the system very well.
I'm with you hosting with Paul Dottino yesterday. I specifically asked him about Bobby Hart. I asked him, I said, do you feel that this right guard position is Bobby Hart's position to lose? And Paul Dottino said no. He doesn't think it is. He thinks they're going to bring in some veteran talent besides Jerry to compete with Bobby Hart for this position. You know, this is a young man. Keep in mind, still a lot of growth, a lot of development, a lot of maturity still needed. And they'd like to bring in a veteran guy who might up the ante and really get him to compete for this position. So it's how Paul feels, and I typically agree with him.
Well, Hart has versatility. He's played at tackle. He's played at guard. So I think when they look at him during the course of the offseason, he's going to have some opportunities to compete at both of those positions on the right side. And then obviously it's going to depend on who else they bring in that either may be a better fit for tackle or may be a better fit for guard. Right now, you look at who's at least in the mix that's under contract. You have Marshall Newhouse, you have John Jerry, you have Bobby Hart. You know, those are the three key players on the right side of the line. That's right now. 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, conversation could drastically change depending on some of the offseason moves that the Giants make. But right now you have a young guy with the combination of two veterans. What will they go after in free agency? That remains to be seen. But if you bring in another two or three guys, the more guys you have to compete, all that does is that makes your team that much better. So it's never a bad thing to say, hey, we want five or six guys in, and we want to mix and match them on the right side and let the best man win, as opposed to going in and saying, this guy already we have penciled in, it's his job. And I don't think anybody should walk in thinking it's their job, including Bobby Hart, because, you know, for a limited experience, I thought he got a lot of experience last season, but the learning curve, he's still very low on the learning curve because this was only year one, and he didn't get into every single game. So he's got to come into this offseason thinking he's just as hungry as the next guy, that nothing's going to be given to him. And I'm sure the coaching staff is not necessarily laying out gifts for any of these individuals as well. That's the way at least everybody's got to look at it. Let's continue to go through Twitter here. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You want to weigh in on the phones. You want to weigh in on Twitter. You got two ways to interact with us here on the program. Let's take a look at what other people are weighing in. I know when we got the phone call about health and injuries and so forth, that certainly has become a big topic of discussion. Ben Gruen at Gruen Ben. Yes, other teams have injuries, but are those same teams perennially decimated like us? No. Top of the league 3 years running. And those were the numbers that were ranked in terms of people who put together all of the totals and so forth. And the Giants were high up on the injury list. But, you know, Ben, I think if you look at other teams, maybe there's not as much consistency out of those other teams, but there's other prominent teams at the top of those rankings in terms of the Patriots who we threw out, you threw out the Baltimore Ravens. And the key trend when these teams lose notable starters is the fact that even though those teams may have had good track records in terms of the depth chart, Anita, there has been a dip of production. For example, Baltimore struggled when it lost a lot of its star players this season. And the Ravens, if you go based on their track record, they've been known for being able to digest some of the injuries. And I would say the same thing with the Patriots. I mean, think about how many times Tom Brady was hit this season. Think about all the configurations in which the offensive line had to go through. So even the consistent teams, when they get hit by injuries, you know, they've taken a backseat as a result too.
I'll be honest with you. I was really surprised with Kamar Aiken. He stepped up in a big way. I mean, the last few games of the season for the Baltimore Ravens, he was all Joe Flacco had to work with. And then it wasn't even Joe Flacco, right? It was Matt Schaub. So, you know.
Well, Aiken was big in terms of helping them get some added depth, and I would say even before the injury bug struck, because remember, they lost Torrey Smith at free agency. Mm-hmm. They needed a go-to guy, plus they had dealt with injuries at the tight end position, which was a killer for them during the course of the season. You know, the running game was left really into the hands of Justin Forsett. They had some line issues and so forth. Flacco was banged up. I mean, it really was all across the board, most notably defense, too, where Baltimore got banged up. I thought that team was tested, you know, similar to the Giants at various positions across the board. And, you know, they hung in there. There were a lot of competitive games, but it's hard. It's hard when you call on guys who are on the practice squad and guys who don't have that much experience, because clearly they need to gain that.
And looking at the Giants, I mean, I think you could say the same thing about Dwayne Harris. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, Victor Cruz never made it onto the field. And I think Dwayne Harris surprised me. I mean, he outperformed what my expectations were for him this season, and I'm excited to see how he can build and grow off of that, and also Will Tye. I know we talk a lot about Will Tye, but even towards the end of the season and how Will Tye, his role on that offense really changed. You saw him not staying home and blocking so much. You saw more pass protection out of the backfield with Shane Vereen and Rashad Jennings, where Will Tye was released into passing patterns. So you saw Will Tye and Dwayne Harris really step up in a big way for the Giants. So there were some areas, there were some positions where guys went down and next man up, and they totally performed and they outperformed my expectations. So it did happen for the Giants in a few positions.
Well, Will Tye is probably the most notable one. What he was able to do at that position after they lost their key blocker in Daniel Fells, Larry Donnell, their key playmaker going back to the last season. Tye came in, took advantage of his opportunity, and certainly thrived down the stretch. And the Giants have a good track record in that department with young tight ends, too.
And Bobby Hart, look, I didn't really know what to expect from Bobby Hart. He came in, he performed better than what I thought. And linebacker.
Young linebacker,
yeah.
Veteran linebacker.
Well,
Jasper Brinkley's no
there
young
you go.
Guy, but
Jasper
he certainly
Brinkley.
Stepped in.
Jasper
yeah.
Brinkley, there you go. He stepped in. He, in my opinion, he overperformed in regard to what my expectations were. So don't underestimate. You know, the Giants had a few guys that really stepped up and really performed when their number was called. They did.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you just named a few. But I think that the point, at least, that Ben was bringing up on Twitter, when you get hit at just about every position or the bulk of your key positions, it's hard to rely on somebody from the practice squad or somebody who maybe doesn't have nearly as much experience to come in day one and all of a sudden continue that productivity. There were certainly a number of examples on the Giants roster, I would agree with you,
yeah.
But when you get hit at various positions across the board, you can't expect everybody on the practice squad to be able to fill that void. That's what obviously the big struggle is, the big challenge for any team in the National Football League. Let's go to @WeHighClick here on Twitter. He asked, does the Giants cap also include draft picks money, or is that separate? There's a rookie pool where the money that is set separately for rookie contracts, it's called the rookie pool, and it usually increases and decreases each and every year, just like the salary cap. So that doesn't really impact the numbers that you have to work with in terms of going after free agents and re-signing your own players. It's a separate calculation which rises and decreases in conjunction with the salary cap. It's called, usually they refer to it as the rookie pool, which also has a cap and a limit. I mean, you can't go above and beyond the means to sign some of your rookies. So I wouldn't get too overly concerned they've got X amount of dollars, but we got to worry about the 6 or 7 draft picks that are coming in. It's usually considered a separate scale where they address that. So that is something, at least in terms of the inner workings of the finances. Keep the tweets coming in. Hashtag Giants Chat. We'll continue to address all your questions. We'll also get back to the phone lines here at 201-939-4513. And speaking of the phone lines, let's head back there. We got Len in Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Len. How's everything with you?
Good. Good. Everything's good. Everything's good. Thanks for asking. I'm as frustrated as a lot of other fans are about the injury situation. And, you know, I'm so crazy about the gun, so crazy with my frustration about this, that I'm really beginning to wonder if the players themselves, and I'm going to use the word serious, are taking this whole strength and conditioning idea seriously. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Anita talked about the hydration idea. You know, you just hydrate at halftime of the game, but Anita suggested that's a whole process. It's a whole program. It's all we got to be hydrating leading up to the game. Did I read that right, Anita?
That's exactly what happens. I mean, athletes, you need to be hydrating 3 or 4 days leading up to the game. You need to prepare for the game and hydrate properly. Absolutely.
Well, I would believe that. I think you're right on with that, and I'm glad you brought it up. And I'm just wondering whether guys take those kinds of things as seriously as they should. Paul, not Paul. I'm sorry, Lance. You alluded to the idea that these guys are going to run a 40-yard dash at the at the combine, and they're going to be the best trained to run a 40-yard dash any time in their life. I mean, that day that they run that 40, they will never be better trained. You know, it's like going on a job interview. You're never going to look better than that, that first interview with the company. But, and I'm just wondering whether this is a year-long process for these guys. If they're taking it seriously, the injuries, they got to do their part to help with the injury situation.
I know
there's some injuries that you can't avoid. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Len, I mean, I think you bring up a good point. We tend to focus on, and this is not to dismiss the responsibilities of coaches across the league, but, we always look at it from the coach's perspective. What are they doing? What are they not doing to get the players ready? But, I mean, I think you brought in the other 50% of the equation, Len. For example, the players right now who are during their own off-season program, which is away from the facility, they have their time off. I mean, what are they doing? They work out on their own. They bring in their own trainers and so forth. That's not something that's under the umbrella of the Giants. They have to be responsible in terms of their decisions. And one other thing I'll add on top of that, Len, before we let you continue, the other thing that's important to realize, we're talking and we're focusing on hydration. Let's just look over the Giants' injuries from last season. Jonathan Hankins suffers a torn pectoral muscle. That doesn't necessarily have anything to do with hydration the last time I checked.
Right.
I'm not a medical expert, but, some of these injuries, no matter how much you prepare for, Len, you can only avoid so much of these injuries. So I think you need to take that into perspective as well.
Yeah. But there seems to be a whole new avenue of training out there. And I'm not a big Chip Kelly fan, but, some of the things that came up last year had to do with Kelly trying to control lifestyle. Now, I know these are grown men, and, they do what they want to do, et cetera, and you can only go too far. But, sleep habits, more on nutrition. What are they eating and when are they eating? I mean, that seems to be – but I thought I read somewhere, Lance, that the new strength and conditioning guy has got a master's degree in health and nutrition.
He does,
So maybe that's something that they're going to be looking at. But not that they haven't already. Again, the frustration is I don't know, and most of the other fans don't know either, what they've been doing and what kinds of things they're looking at. But I'm going crazy with this injury thing. So I started thinking, what are the players doing in terms of lifestyle to put themselves into a position to be less susceptible to injury? Now, there's always going to be, the ACL, the MCL, the pectorals. I understand that, Lance, but I think the players have to take on a responsibility.
And I would agree with you, Len. I think you bring up a very valid point.
Go ahead, Len.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Anita.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, Actually, I don't have anything else to say. I know that.
Wow, you're speechless. I'm stunned here.
That's a first, Lynn. That's a first.
That's right, that is a first.
That's a first on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Lynn, thank you so much.
Thanks for the phone call.
That's how frustrated I am about injuries. I have nothing else to say.
You know, Lynn is right. Listen, you know, the new collective bargaining agreement. And I know I say this all the time. Be careful what you wish for. To me, because of the new collective bargaining agreement, I don't feel that guys, when the season starts, they're ready to go. And, yeah, a lot of that has to do with, you know, what the players agreed to and the few amounts of OTAs and, you know, training camp. Heck, I know I'm dating myself here, but, man, I remember when training camp had, like, two sessions of, like, full contact. Like, and that just doesn't happen anymore. So the onus is, in my opinion, Lance, the onus is on the players. There has to be a responsibility with them that they're going to go the extra mile. They're going to do the extra things to make sure that they are going to be ready, more than ready, beyond ready for OTAs, for training camp. They need to get that one jump step ahead because the preparation that they agreed to in the collective bargaining agreement is not necessarily getting them ready for regular season game one. That's why when the season starts, so many missed tackles, you hear about, like, lack of tackle net technique. And you know, you really don't see teams really get into a rhythm and a vibe and really find an identity of how good or how bad they are until the first 4 weeks of the season. So, you know, I think Lynn's right. The onus is on the players, and every player's different in regard to how they view their career, how serious they are about their preparation, how serious they are about their diet and their workout routine and how they hydrate, and every player's different. But it is on them, and they need to have, in my opinion, a bigger and better commitment on being ready and their skill set and helping their skill set develop properly, and that entails training in the off season the way that you need to.
Well, continuing the trends that you have in place during the season. It's a 24/7 job. Now, the season's only for a few months, but the real preparation, as you hear all the time, comes outside of the season.
And there are a number of guys, and I know for a fact on this roster that, you know, they spend a lot of time in Arizona training with you know, these top-notch facilities. Arizona, down in Miami, down near University of Miami as well. I want to say there's a few in Atlanta. I want to say Arizona, Atlanta, Miami. So, and a lot of these guys pay a lot of money to be a part of these groups so that they can train with these top trainers. So there are quite a few, especially on this roster, that are committed to that.
Well, and some get creative. Justin Pugh, for example, took kickboxing one offseason. He worked out with Jay Glazer, you know, who works with Fox Sports. Marcus Kuhn did that too. So they're looking for ways to get in shape and, you know, hone their craft and so forth. But that's the flexibility of the player. The player has the right to decide that, obviously in conjunction with, you know, talking with the Giants and so forth. But, you know, a lot of the work is done specifically in the offseason away from this facility because of the CBA rules and regulations where, you know, back in the day it was much more of a grind here with your team. Now there's weeks where you go where you're not around the team. And if you don't stay locally, you go back to wherever you settle in. So that lies in the responsibility of the player. Let's head back to the phone lines. We got Brandon in New Jersey. Brandon, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Doing well, Brandon. What's happening with you?
I don't want to talk about – like you said, though, like you just referred to, though, you got to get players, in my mind, that's committed, that want to win and want to win a championship in there, that's going to be able to put in the time that's necessary to win a championship. With that being said, I want to rebuild this defense. I want to put my GM hat on, you know, because I've been saying this every time I call. Like, all you got to do is make a couple of moves, and we got the money to do it this year. Now, first of all, I would like to get Malik Jackson, the defensive tackle from Denver. I don't believe they're going to be able to keep him. I will get him, right? Then I will get Trevathan, the linebacker that's out there. Then I'll go get the corner. I'll let Prince walk. He's kind of showed me that he probably doesn't really fit Spagnuolo's scheme, the one-on-one, to play the outside. Or if we was to bring him back, maybe we was to move him to the nickel corner, let him play the inside, but I don't know if he would want to do that. If he wouldn't be willing to do that, I'll let him walk. I'll get the corner from Kansas City that's a free agent out there. I'll go get the defensive end that's a free agent from on the Dolphins that's out there.
Olivier Vernon.
Yeah. I re-signed Ayers. I re-signed Pierre Paul at a reasonable price to bring him back. We still got the kid Owen. In the first round, I draft another defensive end. In the second round, I'll probably go get another defensive tackle because I heard the defensive tackles is very heavy in this draft. I'll get another defensive tackle. In the third round, I'll get our right tackle. And I forgot one thing. In free agency, I'll get the wide receiver, the kid Benjamin from Cleveland.
Travis Benjamin.
He's also a special teamer. Yeah.
Up two in free agency and put him on there. In the third round, I draft a right tackle, a mauler that could move to push the line the way we do. We need one more tackle because we're going to play Bobby Hart at the right guard position. That's why I believe that's where his position needs to be. And leave the left side how it is with Flowers, Pugh, Richburg. I'll put Hart at right guard. And like I said, in the third round, draft the right tackle that will complete the line. Now, in the fourth round, I draft a corner, another corner, that could probably play the nickel position. It's going to still be a good corners in the fourth round. I'll get a corner in the fourth round. I won't take a chance on Weddle, but I don't know, because we got a lot of safeties coming back. We don't have to go and get, a top-notch free safety in the first two, three rounds. I believe it's probably going to be either depth in the draft, or we could bring Weddle in as a stat guy, and see what the other guys do coming back off an injury in training camp. I would take that gamble.
Brandon, you do have some youth at the safety position right now
don't know about them, and we don't even know
correct.
What they could do.
Well, that's why I didn't mean to cut you off, Brandon, but I was going to say that's why I think there is use for a veteran if you want to go that direction, if the team thinks that that's what they want to pursue to complement a young guy like Landon Collins, because right now most of the depth chart at safety on this team is young, unproven talent or guys that have dealt with some injuries. So I think that if they wanted to protect themselves from that regard, that wouldn't be a bad game plan.
Right. I want to say one more thing before you cut me off. Where we at? In the fifth round, right, I'd go with a linebacker that's in the draft. Because I get Trevathan that's out there in free agency and get a linebacker to pay me. It's still going to be good depth at the linebacker position by the fifth round. And then probably draft another wide receiver in the sixth round and probably take another probably defensive lineman in the seventh.
But, Brandon, I understand, like, visually what you're seeing and what you'd like to see happen, but it's a magic carpet ride once the draft starts. I mean, for example, last year the Giants never in a million years would think that Landon Collins would be available in the second round, you know, and so that's why they traded up to get him. They never thought that he'd be there. Once the draft starts, I understand what you're saying. I'll get this player in this round. I'd like this player in this round. But once the draft starts and players start coming off the board and other guys start rising and there might be a player that the Giants covet that maybe other teams don't, and I get what you're saying, but to place these skilled position players in the positions you have allotted in regard to the rounds, that's not really fair to do.
Brandon, I think you putting on your GM hat, and appreciate the phone call. Thanks.
One more thing. Dude, what about the kid Thompson that's coming back off of injury?
Mykel Thompson.
He's more like a free safety, right?
To be honest with you, you know, his time on the field has been extremely limited. Keep that in mind. So, you know, they haven't really had an opportunity to experiment where exactly they're going to want to put him moving forward.
I'll put him at the free safety position with Collins to see what he could do and bring in a veteran free safety like Weddle's in there.
No, and I hear you in terms of the veteran front, Brandon. And once again, appreciate the phone call. I think that, you know, if you want to put the GM hat on as a fan, you know, and you were alluding to this, Anita, free agency comes first. And free agency is going to dictate what happens with respect to the draft. So, Brandon, the last caller, I mean, I certainly appreciate the passion of, you know, where you want to go in each round of the draft, but some of those needs could very well be addressed in free agency. That's why you let free agency play out, then you assess your roster and you say, okay, we could use a little bit more depth here, we could use a little depth there. That's why it's important you get through step one before you jump across and ahead to step two.
You know, not just Thompson, but keep in mind, Bennett Jackson went down, Berhe went down.
A lot of guys went down.
I mean, expectations in regard to that safety position that just really, you know, didn't amount because of the injuries that they suffered. So that's going to be I think fun to watch with everybody healthy.
Well, and that's why I think training camp is going to be interesting. To say that, you know, a player is already penciled into one spot, you know, Bennett Jackson, Nat Berhe, and Mykel Thompson. If you put together the amount of reps that they had combined throughout the course of training camp and the preseason, you're not talking about a wealth of reps where you have a lot on film and you're like, you know, we've got a vision for this guy. And I'm sure that obviously they've had these conversations, but you have to see how they mesh with one another on the field for an extended period of time during the course of training camp and the preseason, which did not happen last season, before we start to say, you know, this guy we could put on the left side, this guy we could put on the right side, and so forth. You know, Spags would even say, you know, he's got to see a little bit more out of them during the course of the offseason program. Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Let's head back to the phone lines. We've got Marcus in Philadelphia. Marcus, welcome aboard. What do you have for us?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well, Marcus. How's everything with you?
Everything's good. I can't complain. Just 2 points really quickly.
Or you choose not to complain, at least. But anyway, continue.
Who's going to listen, right? I was listening. I heard Len a few minutes ago bring up a good point about injuries and injuries that the Giants, they've gotten over the last couple of years. It is quite frustrating, and I heard Anita say a few minutes ago about this new collective bargaining agreement. It really doesn't allow the players to hit and tackle and wrap up. And if you look at the games, it's almost like September is an extension of the preseason. These guys really don't get into the swing of things until week four, week five. And it's like the modern-day athlete. And this isn't just in the NFL, but in all sports. They lack the tenacity and the toughness of the LTs and the Harry Carsons and the Mike Singletary. It just appears that they're more into the social media aspect of things, and they just don't seem the toughest. They make more money, and I know they're better athletes. They're bigger, they're faster, but they just don't have the toughness of the athletes of yesterday. So that's just that point. And then my second point is, I was reading earlier, this is actually like an exciting time of the year for me, especially now that the Giants, we have so much money to go out and retool our roster. I'm constantly reading magazines and reading stuff on, you know, social media and everything about what the Giants could do and things like that. I read an article earlier that Muhammad Wilkerson from the Jets, they may not be able to keep him, so there's a possibility they may try to look into a sign and trade. Do you guys think giving up maybe the 10th overall pick for Muhammad Wilkerson straight up, do you think that would be a good idea? Because he is only 26 years old. He would be an immediate impact player versus drafting a guy at number 10 that you have to wait and let him get better. So I just wanted to hear your answer on that. And I'll listen to you guys off the air. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making the call, Marcus.
No problem. Marcus, thank you for the phone call. I had Rich Samini, who covers the Jets for NFL Nation, for ESPN.com, on my radio show last night. And actually the question was, could the Jets have both Moe and Snacks, Damon Harrison, keep them on the roster? And Rich Samini said no, they could, but Moe would have to agree to a contract and he thinks that, of course, that the world's going to come after him. Anyway, to answer your question, I think it, I, I, the from what Rich had communicated, it's more advantageous. The Jets feel that they value Mo more so than Damon Harrison. So chances are they lose Damon Harrison more so than they lose Mo. Like Mo is like the most important deal for them. And not to say that Ryan Fitzpatrick is not. I think they're anticipating that Mo and Ryan will continue to be Jets heading into next season. Now, do they tag him and then try to work out a deal? I think that's what the Jets are expecting to do. But Rich Cimini does not think the Jets are going to lose Mo. Now, he thinks they might lose Snacks, but, you know, and I was talking to Paul Dottino about it actually earlier this morning, and Paul thinks that Snacks fits more of a 3-4 defense as opposed to a 4-3. So he doesn't think that the Giants would have a lot of interest in Snacks.
Well, and speaking of that, I also think you need to take into consideration where Wilkerson would fit in to a 4-3 defense too, considering what he's worked in, and the Jets had been having a 3-4. So, you know, that's another thing that you need to weigh. It's not to take away from his value, but, you know, if you want to hypothetically plug him into the Giants, you have to say, well, if we now move him into a 4-3, can he play defensive end? You know, can he play with his hand in the ground and so forth? I think those are some of the things you need to weigh. To answer, Marcus, your hypothetical, first of all, if Harrison does become an unrestricted free agent, which I'm sure the Jets are going to do everything they can to avoid that from happening, but let's say he does, then if I'm the Giants, why do I need to worry about a sign and trade? I mean, I would just try to offer him an advantageous contract before I'd be worried about taking away my draft picks and so forth. If you had to go via sign and trade, I mean, personally, I think there's a great deal of value where the Giants are going to select, and I think that you can't just think short-term. You also need to continue to think long-term, and, you know, with all the young offensive linemen they brought in, the Odell Beckhams, if you have another opportunity to bring in another top-10 pick, what that can mean for you for the next 4 or 5 years with a rookie contract is a lot more valuable than locking up perhaps Wilkerson to a much more lucrative deal and parting ways with that rookie contract. The rookie contract, no matter whether you have to wait a year or two, which Marcus mentioned, for that guy to come to fruition, from a financial standpoint, it's so advantageous because you have that guy on the books for 4 to 5 years, depending
on
the option.
For next to nothing.
Exactly. And then you can use that money to go after another position on top of what you got out of that draft pick, as opposed to parting ways with the draft pick and substituting the draft pick for a lucrative contract, which is going to weigh more heavily on your salary cap.
Exactly.
So I think there's more value keeping the pick and selecting somebody with that pick. Hope that answers the hypothetical.
And a top 10 pick at that.
Of course. I mean, that's the other thing. If you're talking about a low 20s, maybe it's a different story. You weigh here or there. But when you're talking about a top 10 pick, you know, those don't come around very often. So that is at least something that I'm sure a lot of teams are going to have to weigh, because, you know, teams that are at the top of the draft too, you know, if they don't feel that they want to draft a quarterback there, they also weigh. Is it better if we ship the pick out of town and we stockpile with maybe a veteran and a combination of draft picks? You're going to hear a lot about that, especially maybe a Cleveland team or somebody else who doesn't maybe think that some of the quarterbacks available are attractive there. So there's a lot of interesting storylines, I'm sure, that were going to come about in the next few weeks. The next big date is the beginning of March, where you have to give out the franchise tag. Then after that, a few days later, about 5 days later, we'll start the calendar. Free agency will start, and then they'll move forward from that point on before we obviously inch closer to the draft. And the combine is next week, so we'll continue to cover a variety of different aspects here on Big Blue Kickoff Live over the next few days. We're going to have an expert who has covered the draft for USA Today on tomorrow's program, so we'll start to look ahead to the combine, some of the prospects and some of the trends to look forward to that.
But also it's hard, right? It's hard to look forward to the combine and the draft before you really see what the Giants are going to be able to do in free agency. Because you could sit here and you could talk about all the needs that the Giants need right now and what you'd like for them to focus in on the draft, but that's all going to change after free agency, especially a lot of people are anticipating the Giants to be big-time players with the amount of money they have to play with.
Well,
so it's you know, it's going to be a totally different storyline after the combine.
It'll certainly dictate how the draft plays out, but I think if you're to look at the combine, what's the biggest takeaway? It's more the individual prospects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how did they perform? How did they perform in college, as opposed to whether or not that player's a good fit, just to sort of gain knowledge on the various prospects and, you know, where they're projected to go. That's, to me, the biggest takeaway right now heading into the combine, as opposed to, oh, this guy's going to go 10 and this guy's going to go 7, mainly because, like you said, free agency has to end first before it dictates where these prospects are going to wind up. Well, we certainly appreciate appreciate all the phone calls, all the tweets over the last 60 minutes. Stay locked to Giants.com for all the latest team news. For Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. We'll speak to you tomorrow right here on Giants.com. Have a good one.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.